The title of this one is called The Effectual Prayer Life. The Effectual Prayer Life. In other words, it's actually working. It's not just words and so forth. The Effectual Prayer Life. And so the Bible, we're going to see how to make sure that our prayers are effective. We don't want to just, again, I hate to use that phrase, waste time. And the Bible does talk about that. It talks about if we regard iniquity in our heart, we're just saying words. Whether it's word salad or whether it's just, maybe we may be saying the right kind of words. But if iniquity is regarded in our hearts, the Bible says God does not hear. And there's a whole bunch we've already talked about, all those things. And so we're wanting to see tonight what these verses say that will make it an effectual prayer. In other words, there will be an effect, a lasting effect because of it. And James 5, verse 16 talks about that. How that we're supposed to pray that way. Maybe have that mindset. Again, I don't want to just go through the motions. I believe the Bible calls it vain repetition. I don't want to just say things, just say words, just throw them out there, things like that. My checklist. I read my two scriptures, or I read my chapter. I've said my prayers, and I'm off to work. And I've read the Bible and meditated a little bit, and I've said my prayers. And now I'm going to sleep, and I do that all over again the next day. We don't want it to become a rut. We don't want it to become routine. The Bible, again, says it's just vain repetition. So we don't want it to be that way. Because vain repetition, obviously, is not going to be effectual. It's not going to make a difference. And so this prayer is talking about it'll make a difference. And so, of course, praise the Lord for what we do here at our church when sharing those prayer requests, and we're praying for one another. And Brother Raji has typed it up now, and we can take that home with us, and we can pray daily. If you don't have time to pray for all of it, maybe divide it up into sevenths. All right, so one a day, or maybe you divide it up in fifths for just the weeks during the week and things like that, and so forth. And obviously, sometimes I'll be thinking, and God will bring some of those prayer requests to my mind, and I'll just pray for them randomly, things like that. But we want to make them effectual. It's kind of like your first date. If you were trying to impress her, all right, you wanted your outfit to be effectual. You wanted that just the right amount of cologne or too much cologne to be effectual. Where you took her and what you said while you were there, things like that. You were hoping it made an effect on her so that she would say yes the next time. And obviously, if you ever got told, nah, I'm busy, it didn't work, all that. And, I had flowers, and I had this, and I had this, and it didn't work. So same kind of way, when we're praying, we ought to want them to work. And so just like we might have taken some time to think, and she's probably wishing you would, do that some more. All right? And that's what my wife tells me. You did a lot to, get that hook in me, so, do a lot of that to keep me, amen. And she's not threatening to leave and wiggle off the hook, but anyway, you know what I'm saying. So we want what we say, what we do, what we think about to work, have some effect to it. And so James 5:16, it says here, confess your faults one to another. And we'll go ahead and just stop right there. Again, that doesn't mean that we're commanded to. That doesn't mean we're commanded to give all the gory details. We might can say, I'm a sinner too. All right. I'm not perfect either. I need prayer. I need God in my life. That's what we're confessing to each other. We all need help. Again, now if you have somebody that you're close to, and maybe y'all have had some similarities as far as struggles and things like that, nothing wrong with maybe sharing some details, but it would probably be better to share what God told you to help you through it than just the sin. All right? Because we don't want to magnify sin. We don't want to, give the devil any credit. I remember back in the 80s when I was a teenager. Whoo! It seemed like the youth meetings that we would go to, that's what they would try to find, is try to find somebody that was maybe even in the occult that got saved. Or they were on drugs and they got saved. Or they were, rocking out and just wicked as all get out, but they got saved. And so they would come in and they would tell you for an hour about their sin, and then right at the end, but I got saved and it's good. All right? It was almost like you were tempting the kids to, Go live it up, and then you can get saved later. All right? And, you know, party hardy, eat, drink, and be merry, and so forth. And I remember even some, you know, kids that did have a problem with maybe even the wrong kind of music. And that youth speaker would, you know, say, you ought not listen to this, and they'd play it through the sound system. You know, and the kid, okay, it's kind of like, you know, if you have a drug problem, you know, here, you know, handing it to them. Don't do that. So that's what we're saying. We see here, confess our faults one to another. Maybe it not ought not be a competition. Well, I was worse than you. I struggled more than you did. That's not what it's talking about. It's basically just admitting to each other that we need God to help us. That's enough on that. So it says here, confess your faults one to another. And then it says here, pray for one another. So again, this part ought to be the most important, where I believe a lot of times people get maybe online or on the phone and they word puke, if that's what you want to call it, and they talk about the bad part of it, where it says here, pray for one another. So, okay, I have issues, I have issues. Yes, we both have issues. So let's just pray for each other and let's talk about the good stuff. But anyway, it goes on, it says here, that ye may be healed. In other words, God might help you with that situation. Take care of it. And then it goes, here's where we got the title from. It says here, the effectual, fervent prayer. So again, so if you look at the context, you know, all of us have faults. We need to pray for one another. And then he ends with the most important. He didn't end with, see who can outdo each other with the worst sin. Who can be more involved in the wickedness? No. He's like, we're all sinners. We're going to pray for each other. But that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So again, here's a lot of people, just like we ought not get involved in maybe listing our sins and comparing in a competition of who's the worst sinner, we ought to pray for each other. Same thing here, the effectual, fervent prayer. So a lot of people, like, they're so worried about, this has got to make an effect. This has got to make an effect. This has got to make an effect. And they're trying to, okay, if I want to make an effect, it's got to be fervent. All right, so I'm going to be like gritting teeth praying. I'm going to be like throwing stuff praying. I'm going to be like God screaming praying. And so they get all, you know, bound up, and I got to make it effectual. I've got to be fervent. Right? But then it goes on to say, of a righteous man. So I think we ought to focus on that righteous part. Why? Because if you study the Bible says the Holy Spirit's our prayer partner. And the Bible says even the Holy Spirit, when we don't know what to say. God, I don't know what to say. I really want this prayer. And then the Holy Spirit tells God what we feel in our heart. But if we're zeroed in on righteousness, the Holy Spirit will be telling God, hey, answer that one right there. I mean, because they're living what like you want them to. I mean, they're dotting every I, crossing every T. They're living a good Christian life. They're being the light of the world. They're being the salt of the earth. They're trying. So this is what they're trying to say. Where if we're all focused in on the effectual part and the fervent part, but we, you know, throw the righteous part out, if we do that, it don't matter how effectual we want it to be, it's not going to be. It don't matter how fervent we get. If we're not righteous, the Bible says God's, you know, the way of a transgressor is hard. So God says that, you know, you're not living righteous, so word salad, blah, 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 vain repetition. So that's what James is saying here. Look, we're all faults. We all have faults. We all ought to pray for each other. And we want God to, the affection's going to come from, or the effect is where God's going to answer it. And we ought to be sincere, fervent, all that stuff. But the key is here, a righteous man availeth much. So that's the affecting. And so again, all that to say, we ought to live righteous. So let's look at a couple definitions here. Effectual basically means to produce, the producing of it, or the able to produce a desired effect. That's what effectual means. And so when I'm coming to God with that prayer, I have a desire for God to do. And so that's God, I want you to produce this end result. I need you to do that. That's what effectual means. And so that effect is basically the cause or the result to come or the outcome. And so we see here that people have said this phrase, prayer changes things. And we've talked about that a little bit. If prayer changes things, why is this world in such a mess? Why are Christians in such a mess? Obviously 2 Chronicles 7:14 is there, if my people. What we ought to do is say, okay, if I live righteously, and again, I can't do it without God's help. I've got to have God's help to live righteously. But instead of prayer changes things, it ought to say the righteous person's prayer changes things. Because it's all through what we've been talking about, how that God is going to look at the life and look at the heart, and He's going to do all that. And that's where it gets changed. So we see here, fervent is basically very hot. I mean, hot. It's on my mind all the time. I need this. That's what fervent means. It also, the Bible talks about that. That God says, I would rather you be hot or cold. Lukewarm makes me want to puke, is what the Bible says. I want to spew you out of my mouth. And so we see that God would rather us be hot or cold. He don't like that pretending and sometimes good, sometimes not, in, out, thinking about God, who cares about God. He wants us to be very hot. And that hot prayer will get some things done. And it says here, this is exhibiting great intensity or zealous. That's what fervent means. And so Rome, that verse that I was just quoting to you is found in Revelation 3:16. It says here, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And so the effectual fervent prayer is going to come from somebody that's righteous that we've seen so far. Secondly, it's somebody that's on fire for God or hot for God. They're not cold, they're not lukewarm, and so forth. So we see here, number one, we ought to confess our faults. And we've already talked about that enough, I think. Just admit that we have issues. We have sin that we have to deal with. We have growth that needs to be taking place. So, but back in the day, I told you about that already. We had some youth directors. That's what they would do and see who could have the most wicked story. Number two, don't worry about the effectual part or the fervency part. Worry about the righteous part, and then God will do His part. So it's more about a mindset. More about a mindset. Philippians 2:5, we know the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So again, when I'm wanting to have an effectual prayer and a fervent prayer, I say, okay, I want to live righteous, but then also need to have the mind of Christ, need to have that mindset. So we see here, let's look at a couple of instances in the Bible where Jesus' mindset or Jesus' prayer. First one we'll look at or think about is in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says he was sweating great sweat drops of blood. I don't know how more fervent you can get. I don't know that I've ever sweated great sweat drops of blood, but he was serious. And of course, he was trying to have a fervent prayer, an effectual prayer. He was praying God. And some people have different opinions on that, but he said these words, let this cup pass from me. And so some people will grab that and say, okay, what Jesus was doing, he was trying to get out of dying for us. He was trying to get out of going to Calvary. Let this cup pass from me. Okay. I believe, again, take it as you will, he thought he might have been dying right there. Because the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So his mindset was, I want to go to that cross. I want to go die for people. I want to make it possible for everybody to go to heaven. So I don't want to die right here. I'm sweating great sweat drops of blood. So in his mind, he might have been saying, I might die right here and not make it to the cross. And so again, we see here he was this mindset was, God, I have to, and then that's what he ended up with. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. If you want me to die right here, you're God. So he was praying with fervency. Next one was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, he's looking at people that had just beat him, spit in his face, slapped him, yanked his beard out, stabbed him in the side with a spear, nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, and he prays this prayer, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man, that takes some fervency. To love somebody enough to ask them to be, I mean, somebody pulls out in front of me, I'm ready for them to be put in the ditch. All right? Or somebody says, you know, you're mama, or, you know, you're ugly. You know, let's go. But here he is in a fervent prayer, trying to be effectual with that prayer because he's living righteous. He was forgiving. And again, we know God obviously listened to those prayers. Here's another prayer he had that took faith, fervency. The Bible says, and he took the bread, the five loaves that the little boy gave him, and he blessed it. In other words, he prayed, God, we got 5,000 people here, counting men and women and children. We got five little loaves. I want them to be fed. I want them to all have sufficiency. So can you please help it? So obviously Jesus practiced this effectual, fervent prayer. We know he was righteous. And they all got answered. So we can follow Jesus' example here. Again, we can't be perfect like he can. We can't be God like he can, and so on and so forth. But we can follow these examples. He died for us. So we ought to be able to say, well, I'm going to live for him. He forgave people for doing unfathomable things to him. We ought to be able to forgive somebody for cutting us off in traffic. He said, God, I want them to be fed. And so when we pray over our prayer list, God, I want them to be healed of that. I want them to have what they need. And so again, we see here that God says, or Jesus said here, I prayed this way. So we see fervency should be the evidence of our righteousness, or our righteous living, and then the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where the availeth much comes from. So I can't be fervent enough, and I told you about that a while ago, about breathing fire and sweating and praying and screaming and saying, God, you got... No, that's not it. I just want to live righteously. The Holy Spirit will do that. That's where the avail much comes. So our goal should be to be effective when we pray. So growth is an important element of our prayer. Our prayer should be more effective now than when we get saved. I think sometimes it flips. Because a lot of times when we get saved, we're I guess maybe a little naive. We're a little bit sincere. And so maybe that prayer was more effective back then. And now it's this, we get maybe burnt out on it, or we get, it's not that important. Anyway, but we ought to grow in our prayer life. So our Bible knowledge ought to be more effective now than it was when we get saved. Our church attendance, everything that we do ought to be more, not less, than when we got saved. This is showing our righteousness. This is showing that effectiveness. So our church attendance should be more effective than when we got saved, not worse. Our prayer should be growing in length. I remember, first time I prayed for, I thought I was going to pray for a long time, and got finished praying for everything I knew, and it was maybe 10 minutes. Now, obviously, not because of myself, but just because of things I pray for and what I'm supposed to pray for, things like that, the length has grown. Then the lingo has gotten a little better. The lingo. Now, I know it's not about the lingo. That's not what makes it effective. Because I've heard people that's been saved for a long time that maybe has become Pharisaical, and their prayers are very eloquent. But God's looking right here. Here's a guy that's been saved 2 days. But right here is, God, I need your help. He don't know how to say Heavenly Father. He don't know how to say Dear Lord Jesus, we're going to put this under the blood. He don't know the lingo. He don't know church words. He don't know Bible words. He's just saying, God help. And that's effective though. But obviously we ought not to stay that way. We ought to grow. So our length of our prayers ought to grow. The lingo ought to grow. Our love for God and others ought to grow. It takes a labor of love to pray. So some elements that we're going to look at tonight that will increase our effectiveness. All right? Some elements that we're going to look at tonight that will increase our effectiveness. I want to get better at praying. I want to be more effective and things like that. So obviously these will help us. So number one, what will help my effectiveness in my prayers? Number one is this, obedience to His commands. Obedience to His commands. We used this a little bit in one of the ones earlier that we talked about on Wednesday night. I remember using this illustration. Your kid comes home with straight F's on the report card. They got a pink slip for fighting at school. They got this that they did to the teacher, and they've done this to their sister, and their room is a mess and things like that. And then they're like, can I have the keys so I can go over to my buddy's house? You're not getting the keys. All right, you know, when your report card's better, you treat your sister right, and you're not getting pink slips and this, that, and other, then we can talk about it. So same thing here. Obedience will definitely help our prayers to be fervent and more effective. And that's found in 1 John 3:22. It says this, "And whatsoever we ask," so talking about prayer, "and whatsoever we ask, we receive them, because we kept His commandments." And here's the key right here also. "And do those things which are pleasing in His sight." And I told you that a while ago about that Holy Spirit interpreting our prayers. When God sees us keeping His commandments and doing that which is pleasing. So I wrote this statement down. Keeping all the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots is a good thing. But also that we might do more than just keep His commandments, but we please God. And I thought, well, what does that mean? What's the difference? Obviously, it's pleasing to God to keep His commandments, but there's other things in the Bible that's not a thou shalt not or a thou shalt. And I wrote the list of them down as this. There's weights in the Bible. Okay? The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not, but it's a weight. In other words, it's an example in the Bible of that weight slowing us down running our race for Christ. And it gives an example kind of like what we would see. You know, you watched the Olympics this last summer, and if somebody was swimming or if somebody was running, all right, they had as little amount of clothes on as possible. All right, the runners had cleats on that would grip that asphalt. Swimmers had, you know, head things on, I guess, so their hair didn't slow them down in the water. Right, I probably wouldn't have to have one of those. But anyway, anything that would slow them down, they got rid of it or they used it. Why? Because they wanted to be effective. They wanted to do it. And that's what it says here. That if I want my prayers to be answered, obviously I need to do the thou shalts and the thou shalt. And I don't need to do the thou shalt nots. But then there's something here. It says, do those things which are pleasing to God. So here's a weight that I don't see a thou shalt not, but it's hindering my Christian life. So I'm going to put it down. And I'm going to run my race for Christ. And so that's pleasing to God. Here's another one. The Bible says, Paul was talking to the church at Corinth, and he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, this liberty that you have. In other words, the Corinthians church had found out eternal security. There's nothing that I can do to get lost again. Wow. And Paul was like, whoa. That's true. This liberty that you have. Right? But all things, and he used this word, all things are not expedient. In other words, he said all things are not best. So in this verse, if I want an element to help my prayers get answered, I said, okay, I'm going to keep the thou shalt nots, and I'm going to not do I'm going to do the thou shalts, but then I also want to please God, so I'm going to lay aside weights that might slow me down. Then I'm going to realize that all things aren't the best. That's what expedient means. And there's a verse in the Bible, I didn't look it up, but it's talking about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Obviously, Daniel is the one that was thrown in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the ones that was thrown into the fiery furnace. But it was said about those four individuals. It says they're 10 times better. 10 times better. That's why people hated them. That's why those people made up those lies and got that law signed so that he could get cast into the den of lions, because he made them feel guilty because he lived righteous. And so he prayed and asked God to shut the lion's mouth. That was probably an effectual, fervent prayer. God, I don't want to be eaten. No desire to be gnawed on by a lion. So please. And I guess, obviously, his righteousness that he was living, the Holy Spirit, even if Daniel may have been a great prayer. But if Daniel was like, I really don't know what to say. I don't want to get eaten. The Holy Spirit's like, he's been praying 3 times a day. He's been, purposing in his heart not to defile himself. He don't want to displease you in any way. Let's help him out. That prayer went down there, whoop, and grabbed those lion's mouth. Effectual, fervent prayer. It was effective. And you know the story. The king comes running. Daniel, was your God able to deliver you? Yes, sir. I'm fine. And so he got him out. Same thing with the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're like, hey, dude, I'm sure that's probably a translation of the Hebrew back then. Hey, dude. All right. Our God's able to deliver us. But if not, we're not bowing. We're not succumbing to this temptation. So you can cast us in there if you want to. They did. And they looked in, and there were four in the fire. Effectual, fervent prayer. I'm sure they swallowed hard before they said, hey, dude, we're not going to bow. Our God's able. And so they were probably saying, Lord, this would be a great time for you to show out. This would be a great time to show yourself mighty. You could prove to yourself to all these people. And boy, I'm sure they had a fervent prayer. But they said, this is not expedient. So the weights we can lay aside, some things are just not best to do or not best to say or not best to think. And then there's another verse about that stumbling block. Weights we ought to get rid of. Things might not be the best thing to do, so we ought to get rid of it. And then that stumbling block. I mean, again, it doesn't have to be a sinful stumbling block. It could just be a stumbling block. So we see that God's saying here, if you'll obey my commands and if you'll please me, live righteously, you can have some effective prayer. So our prayers are contingent on our obedience. So if we choose to disobey, we can just realize that our prayers won't be answered. So some people have this ideal in their head. I can live like I want to, and I'll still get my prayers answered. I mean, you see that, you know, on TV. I mean, they're just drunkards, whoremongers. I'm talking about some athletes, some movie stars. And, you know, they can just live like that. And then they'll say something like, well, our prayers are for somebody. Our prayers are this. Our prayers are that. Sorry. That's not the way the Bible teaches. It says in that first verse that we read, if we, a effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. I'm sorry. I don't want Jay-Z praying for me. Or Diddy. Or anybody like that that say that they pray. I mean, because they don't live righteous. Again, I'm not trying to be judgmental, but I'm just saying the Bible says that effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Let's go on. We can determine that we want to pray and ask God to help, but we have to live righteous. So when you are doing your best to keep His commandments and doing your best to please Him in everything that you do or say, you can be confident that your prayers will be heard. So obeying God's commands and pleasing Him is an element of answered prayer. Number two, submitting to His will is an element of answered prayer. So sometimes I don't want to. We're good at saying that. I know I was. My kids were. I don't want to. Go take a shower. I don't want to. Eat your broccoli. I don't want to. We're good at saying that. But we have to say, okay, whatever God's will is. So 1 John 5:14 is where this one's found. It says this, and this is the confidence. So just like we saw in the first one, if I'm living righteous, my prayer will be effectual. Secondly, if I'm keeping His commandments and pleasing Him, God will hear my prayers. Here's one. If I can have confidence in the fact. So this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, here it is, according to His will, He heareth us. So we're looking for elements that we can be confident in. And say, you know, God, this is what I would like, just like Jesus said, this is what I would like. I would rather not die here in the Garden of Gethsemane. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So He hears that. He will hear it. Now, obviously, He might not answer it in the way we want, but He hears it. So Jesus is our example again in everything. Luke 22:41-42, it says this, and He was withdrawn from about a stone's cast and kneeled down praying, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So if we just tell God what we want, He might not listen. But if we say, God, I want Your will here. The Bible says His ears perk up because we're praying for His will. So we must do our best to find God's will in our lives and every aspect of our life. And we cannot determine the will of God by feelings or by emotions or by selfish desires. Right, but we've got to find God's will, what He created us for. So it must be based on what God wants, not what we want. It must be the leading of the Holy Spirit. Here's a verse that has that context in it. And I believe this was our verse for VBS this last time. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let, We talked about that at the beginning. This mindset. Let this mind be in you. All right? Not what I always thought. Well, I thought this is what I, no. Let this mind be in you, and let this be a renewing your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God is not, His will is not hard to find. He's not going to play hide and go seek with Him. He just says, keep my commandments and please me, and I'll lead you to my will. So we must be determined to let God's will be done in our life, because He will do a whole lot better job than we can. If we try to say, well, I have this goal. Right, well, God created you with something in mind. I promise you, if you'll let God have His way, He'll do a whole lot better than we can. We'll make a mess. Number one was obeying His commands. Number two was submitting to His will. Number three, we'll have to go through these last couple real quickly, is humility. And I've already mentioned this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, here it is, shall humble themselves. After we humble ourselves, like the publican did, not the Pharisee, but humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and then here it is, and then turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. And so we can have that confidence, if we'll just be humble, that God will hear our prayers. So forgiving their sins and heal their lands, humbleness is not prideful. Obviously, we know God, the Bible says God resisteth the proud. So, humbleness is not, I'm not prideful, I'm not doubtful, I'm not sinful, I don't have it all figured out, I need your help. That's how to humble ourselves to God. And if we'll do that, He will do His part. So examples of humble prayers, I'll give you real quickly. Abraham, we know Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, you know, wherever you walk, wherever your feet will hit, I'm going to give you that land. I want you to leave your home country, leave your family. I want you to go, and I'm going to make you a great nation. All right, Abraham, Abrahamic covenant. And he prayed it this way. In Abraham's prayers, he said, I am just dust and ashes. So he could have said, I'm God's chosen. I have the Abrahamic covenant. God told me He was going to give me all this. But when he prayed, he's like, God, I'm just dust and ashes. And please help me. Isaiah, he prayed, and this is where we get this verse. He prayed and said, Lord, all my righteousness is filthy rags. He had a humble prayer. James, where we talked about at the beginning, James 5:16. James, it says here, humble yourselves in the sight of God, therefore, and He will lift you up. Peter said a prayer similar to that. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. So we see here, elements of prayer is humility, and there's lots of people that had it. Number four, another element that will get your prayers answered, not only humility, but holiness. Holiness. And it's found in 1 Timothy 2:8. It says this, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. And here it is, we're lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Okay, so again, a lot of people, they'll say, okay, it's lifting up holy hands. And they think just doing this is going to get it done. Some people, when they sing, they have to do this. All right? If this is going, it's not a guarantee. All right? Holy hands. So we see here nothing holy about hands. It says here, but it's that life that they're attached to. Okay? So if somebody that was living unrighteous, we saw that fervent prayer of a righteous man. So let's say that unrighteous person starts praying and saying, okay, I'm lifting up holy hands. That's not going to do away with all the wickedness. That's not going to do away with all the things that that they've done. So, you know, this is just an action that is hooked to a holy life. So we need to be holy in our lives. Holiness is basically God-likeness. Holiness continues after salvation. It's called sanctification. We start setting apart for God's use only. So holiness is consummated when glorification of God takes place. So if we choose to live an unholy life, God is not pleased, God is not glorified, God will not answer our prayers, and fellowship is broken. So we see here holiness is a element of getting our prayers answered. I believe we got one, maybe two more. Fervency, we've already talked about that in James 5:16. It availeth much. So it is not the arithmetic of prayers. In other words, I've prayed 100 days in a row. That's not what it said availeth much. It said the fervent prayer of a righteous man. It could have been the first day. So it's not how long. And there have been some things that I've prayed a long time for. I believe I prayed 7 years. I don't think I ever missed a night for my granddad to be saved. I prayed for many, many months that my wife would say yes when I popped the question. All right. So there have been times that if arithmetic was it, I qualified. But again, it wasn't the arithmetic of the prayer. It was the fervency and the righteousness of the prayer. It wasn't the eloquence of the prayer. There's no such thing as eloquence in this redneck. All right. And so it's not what you say. It's that righteousness. It's not how many times. It's righteousness. It's not the eloquence. It's righteousness. Again, it's not the length. And some of you, you know that I can talk and I can talk and I can talk and I can talk. And you're like, okay, we got it. All right. So it's not the length. It's the righteousness. It's not the voice. You know, some people have unbelievable voices. We've talked about it. James Earl Jones, Mufasa in the Bible reading. Alexander Scorby, he was the first Bible reader, things like that. There's several other ones that have just awesome voices. But again, they can start talking or start praying and it's like, wow. Okay, but if they're unrighteousness, God's not saying wow. The Bible says He's going. All right, so it's not the voice. Because I have a southern drawl. Some people have a northern whatever it's called. All right. And Paki Kai and Yad and all that stuff. Okay? So it's not the voice. It's the righteousness. Again, here it's not the logic. Some people can logic. I shot a deer the other day and I was like, okay, how do I get that in the back of that truck? All right, it was just me. And so redneck logic. All right, I got a ratchet strap out of the truck, pulled it out of the ratchet part, used the rope, tied it around his horn, tied it to my truck, pulled it down here to a ditch. All right, and I left him beside the ditch and then I pulled the truck up and backed the truck into the ditch, made my tailgate lay on this dirt. Logic. All right. Nice. Okay. And then I was looking on something and there was this one guy that he took a rope and tied it to the things inside the bed of the truck on the back, the tie downs, I guess it's called, straight across, ran a rope around that down and hooked it to it and somehow had a piece of plywood and drove and something. And I was like, that's too complicated for me. All right. The ditch worked good for me. All right. So, but my parents got me something for my birthday. They're sending it to me. It goes into the receiver hitch, and it's got a crank on it, and it swivels. So now if I'm hunting by myself, I can click, click, click. Click, click, click. All right? So they're not wanting me to hurt my back. But anyway, logic. But we can't logic God. Now, God, this is what I think. This is what needs to be done, and I know we can't. It's not logic. So it's not arithmetic. How many times? It's not the eloquence or the length. Or the booming voice. It's not logic. It's not argument. Some of us can argue all day long. Nope. 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 Don't say another word. 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 We're going to win the argument. We can cross our arms, tap our foot toe with the best of them. Nope. 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 Not going to hear it. Not going to change. So, again, we can't argue God. Here's another one. It's not the methods. And so that's kind of like the logic. It might be a scientific method. It's been proven. It's not the method. And it's not even the doctrine. I mean, we can explain to God all day long that, I know doctrine. It's kind of like those guys in heaven where he said, haven't we prophesied in your name? We've raised people from the dead. We've done this. He says, depart from me. I never knew you. So it's not even the doctrine. God, Bible says you will answer prayer. No, he said, whoa, time out. Effectual fervent. If you want it to be effectual, you got to be righteous. So all these things we see here, fervency, it helps. So that's that mindset of coming as a hot Christian, somebody that's right with God. The Bible talks about a broken heart. So a righteous person with a broken heart, God's going to hear that prayer. A righteous person that sows tears, the Bible says. He bottles them. God's going to hear that prayer. That person that's righteous, that comes to God, and they're living a holy life, and they're hot, not cold, not lukewarm, God's going to hear that prayer. Urgency. God, I got to have your help now. And there's righteous involved in it. God's going to hear that prayer. So we need fervency. Praying, preaching, singing, Christian living, church attendance. We need prayer. I mean, we need all that to God to hear us. So, real quickly, last one. He's here. Take time to be holy. Take time to meditate. Take time to pray. Take time to let God help you. So obeying God's command is an element of answered prayer. Submission to His will is an element to answered prayer. Humility is an element to answered prayer. Holiness is an element to answered prayer. Fervent in spirit is an answer to prayer. And the last one, regularity. Psalm 55:17, David said this, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." So regularity helps. We know it's not over and over and over, as long as there's righteousness hooked to it. Not only did David pray three times a day, Daniel did. Daniel 6:10. It says here, Daniel went into his house, and the window was being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, and he knelt upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave unto gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. Regularity. And so we have to have faith believing. So, anyway, anybody's life can be changed when they get saved. It will be. Anybody's life can be changed when they start reading and obeying the Scriptures. It will be. Anybody's life can be changed when we develop that fervent prayer of effectiveness. And then anybody's life can change when we start being the effectual witness that we need to be. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we see these elements of effectual effects. And Lord, we just ask you to help us, Lord, and our key that we saw tonight was living a righteous life. Then all these things will help. It will make effect. And Lord, I just ask you to just have your will and way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.